Welcome to Ed Show number 106, and today I am joined by a very special guest. Who are you?
Yeah, I'm Heike, I'm from Germany, and I'm here for an internship for the next 8 weeks, so yeah.
There we go, awesome, it's great to have you here on the Ed Show, helping us out with the news today. What's our first big announcement?
So I think the first big announcement, I'm proud to announce that Microsoft Azure Data Center is now generally available in Brazil.
Brazil South Region.
Yes.
Wow, very nice, very nice.
Good news.
For those people who are in Brazil, they now have lots of computing power that's at their
yeah.
access.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
we go.
Just around the corner.
There we go. Yeah, well, speaking of Azure, we also had a recent report which came out from Gartner on our cloud services for IaaS and PaaS. And turns out that we are leaders in both of those. So if you take a look that at the IaaS there, we're one of two people, along with Amazon, right, in the IaaS. And then for the platform as a service, you know, we're also one of the two people in the top right
yeah,
quadrant
right.
there. So that's a pretty big deal,
yeah.
right? Being in both of those and both being in the leader category.
Absolutely.
So yeah, awesome. So let's see, what else do we have? So of course, you know, it's not only about just quadrants, right? You've got to have more stuff to it than that. And one of the things that I think is great for Microsoft is that, you know, we are also very concerned about your data and privacy. So we've released recently a new white paper on that, on kind of how we deal with things.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty big deal that, you know, we keep that for our customers' data. And one of the things I like to point out that's in here, it says, we do not use customer data for purposes unrelating to providing the service, such as advertising.
Yes.
Some folks out there happen to do that. Not yes. going to name names, but, you know.
It contains a lot of information, this document, actually, because I think because I'm from Germany and we have other regulations than other countries in the world, and it's I'm very proud that Microsoft is the first and the only cloud provider at the moment that offers EU model clauses, for example, together with other certifications that are very important to the customers. And this document contains all the information about it, like what is a ISO 27001 certification, what is the EU model clauses.
Yeah. Yeah, and then of course, yeah, the Azure Trust Center is a good general place for Azure-related stuff.
Absolutely.
We have the Office 365 Trust Center, so, you know, of course, we have all kinds of different things. But this gives a good general feel of
for all the
for
cloud
all
services,
of the, all of them,
Microsoft,
how they work,
Azure,
right?
Office 365, Windows Intune, CRM Online.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's cool to see how, you know, we think about SDL and privacy practices throughout the life cycle of our services. So. All right, moving on. What else do we have?
The next one.
Switching up to events.
Yeah,
what do we have for events coming
cool.
up?
Yeah. If you are a registered attendee for the Worldwide Partner Conference, you can already start building your session scheduler. And if not, if you're still deciding if you want to attend the Partner Conference in Washington, D.C., July 13th to July 17th, just go on this website and have a look at all the sessions. So they are out now.
Yeah.
And we have five tracks. It's cloud, mobile, mobility and devices, enterprise social, big data, of course, and another one for leadership, sales and marketing. And yeah, it's a live website, means if a new session comes up, you will find it on this page.
So that's a WPC conference, but we also have our MVA live events.
Yeah.
And we've got another one of those, right?
That's right after the conference.
That's
I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no, it's June, sorry.
June,
it's
yeah,
already,
so it's before.
Yeah, it's before.
This one's coming up soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Simon May, our colleague.
That's right.
And also Tommy Patterson from Canada, I think.
Yeah. Our fellow evangelists.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to deliver a jumpstart about Windows 8.1 Enterprise and talking about bring your own device scenarios, challenges, and of course the technologies that help you to offer this service to your users, to your customers, and all the great stuff that is in Windows 8.1 for enterprise.
That's, big deal for corporations, especially if you've got XP, move off of that stuff.
Finally, if not done yet.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah.
We also have, you know, a previous event from MVA, an MVA Live, on the Visual Studio Release Management Jumpstart. That course is now available online, and you can check that out. It's a really big deal if you're in the DevOps, especially if you're an IT or ops person. You know, understanding the release management lifecycle is a big thing, and this really dives into depth on the Visual Studio release management process. So yeah, as an IT or an ops person, it could be really useful for you to check that course
Absolutely.
Out. Okay, and then up next, we have kind of a more shifting gears a little bit towards the personal consumer side of the house.
Yeah. What's Bing all about? We had a big birthday last Tuesday. Bing, 5 years old now.
There we go. We're starting to grow up. We're kind of running now. And
if you want to know what kind of innovations we had the last 5 years, just have a look at this blog. It's amazing. So to see now Bing on a tablet, for example, or on a phone, it's for me, much easier to really navigate on a tablet with the Bing.
We've got the little image of the iPad,
exactly.
Bing on iPad. Yep.
Yes.
And all kinds of different phases there.
Of course,
there.
If you have Windows Phone 8.1 and you use Cortana, she uses Bing. And if you use Bing, you can subscribe to this awards program.
Yeah.
And means you can collect points and you get some vouchers for Starbucks, for example, Amazon or something like that.
That's one thing that I like. I know it's kind of like a deal where, hey, I'm getting paid to search.
Yes,
so
it's amazing.
I'm like, what?
So yeah, I'm searching all day long now.
Yeah,
so just try it out. Sign up for the rewards program and collect some points and get money.
There you go. All right. Well, also one last announcement kind of also on the somewhat of the consumer side of the house, right? We have a new help center for our dynamic CRM site. So if you go to crmcustomercenter.com is one of the main URLs there, CRM Developer Center. A lot of new documentation for folks that want to use CRM inside of their environments for
deployment,
users,
customization, setup, everything.
Customization, the whole deal there. Yeah. So it's really handy for folks that want to, you know, start moving forward or help educate their users.
It's one site and you don't have to go to different places.
There you go.
Yeah.
There
cool.
you go. Okay. Well, thank you for helping out with the news. Hopefully we'll see more of you here on The Edge Show. You never know.
I hope so.
comment down below here if you have comments on the news. But stay tuned. Next up, we are going to go to a pre-recorded interview I did with Morgan Webb on DevOps for IT Pros. Because, you know, we started this section on Edge about DevOps. And we gave you some chef stuff and we've given you some app insights. But we haven't really talked about what is this whole DevOps thing about for the ops or the IT guys. And so, we've seen Morgan and I saw a lot of different kind of misconceptions out there. So he and I, based on our presentations and feedback and things we've seen online, we recorded kind of a little framework and answering some of those questions that people might have. So stay tuned with
when
that.
When can we expect that?
Now. Keep watching. There we go. All righty. All right, welcome. We are continuing on here with The Edge Show. And as you'll notice, we are not in the regular studio this week. So we are here at TechEd North America recording a special episode here of The Edge Show focused on DevOps. And because I have somebody here with me who isn't always able to make it out to Redmond.
No, not at all. Hi, I'm Morgan. Come from South Africa. Joining David on The Edge Show today.
Yeah. So you and I have been really working on this content for IT professionals related to DevOps for quite some time now. And, you know, we presented the pre-con, and we've seen a lot of different learnings from folks that are out there today. And we've seen a lot of misperceptions on what is DevOps, how does it relate to the IT pro. And so we wanted to help you today in this episode of The Edge Show kind of clear a lot of that up. Right?
100%.
Yeah. So, one of the first things that we see sometimes is people saying, you know, we don't need, ops guys, DevOps, whatever, right? We don't even need to care about that.
And that's the biggest concern, is that dev go on their own channel, their own route, ops go on their own route, and they never talk to each other until the app's thrown over the wall, basically.
Yeah.
And so ideally, a lot more focus is required for both of them to start working together.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that no matter, even if you want to deny it, right, your company is going to have some kind of apps, probably lots of different ones, internal ones, external ones. And so even if you, as an ops guy, are saying, I don't want to interface with a developer, and that's just a totally different world, well, you're going to at some point have to have the application that they wrote, and then you're going to have to push it out there.
It's right? going to come over the wall either way.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they need infrastructure for that app to run on.
Right.
Which is what you look after at the end of the day.
Right, yeah. So if you've got that scenario where the dev is just going on their own, and they may be creating their own infrastructure. That's actually really easy to do today with Microsoft Azure. They spin up their Visual Studio thing. They can now even spin up VMs in Azure, spin up cloud services, all from the comfort of their own interface, right? And that causes, you know, I know a lot of you and IT and ops folks that are out there today, kind of this uneasy feeling because you're like, well, that's kind of that whole concept, shadow IT. You know, you got the guy that's running the app or whatever under his desk or in a cloud service, and they're just totally avoiding you in IT. And then at some point, right, you have problems.
And this is where this whole dev, ops, and business become a real problem. Yeah. The dev needs to get those apps out. The ops guy's getting these apps thrown over the wall. And the business is just throwing money out to both of them and wondering, where's my return on this long app delivery cycle?
Right.
So ideally, we need those to start talking together, all three of them, basically, at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of, you know, really what DevOps is about, is that, you know, you really need to work more efficiently. You need to eliminate that wall of where the dev guy's just lobbing it over and then hoping that, you know, it's going to all work out on your side, right? And the business needs to have a clear, consistent vision of everything going on. They need to, of course, release more features and more things on time, and then you need to keep things up, right? So there's this juggling of all three of these people. If you don't talk and you don't work together, well, you're going to start to have all kinds of different problems, right?
And that's where the lack of investment comes from the business, because they don't see the return on the investment in IT or dev.
Yep. I mean, today, to survive, you know, you need to have more frequent releases, you know, to keep up with this new world that we're in.
100%.
Right? So, you know, DevOps, what is it really about then, right? We mentioned it's about people, right? I mean, we just kind of covered that one. It's also about process, right? And so for a lot of the IT folks that are out there today, you know, you're a lot of you are familiar with this, right? So you may have something like ITIL. You may have some different terminology or process. You may have a ticketing system or change management system. These things are really important for DevOps, because if you don't know what changes are coming in, how many changes you're making, or pushes to code you're getting out there, it's hard to really measure, right? It's hard to measure what's going on.
And track what stage are we at, and put some measurements in place to see where is the life cycle for this application, and at what stage is someone possibly approving it.
Yeah.
So that process piece, operations people, IT professionals are normally very used to that. Devs, it's kind of a new breed. Mm-hmm. This process, this change management, normally it's let's release it, let's move it, with not much approval along the way. So really, we're trying to tie the story together from Microsoft's perspective. How do we pull together the people? How do we add process to that? And kind of move towards actually using the relevant products in the cycle.
Yeah, and one thing that's, I think, really important as well in the people, you know, one of the things that we see today is people putting up, you know, or companies saying there's all these conflicts between business dev and ops, and then they're just going to go hire a new DevOps guy, right? Like, we totally think that's not the way to go,
and
right?
We see those common job adverts coming out at the moment, the last 6 months.
Yeah, so it's a reality, right? And we believe that, you know, that you have, like, and your company has the right people that are able to do DevOps type of work. Now, you may need to form a team of folks that are within your company that do, you know, kind of start doing things a little bit differently in a DevOps type of way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to go hire a new person to go do this gig, right? I mean, you as the IT or the ops person that's out there today, right? You know the infrastructure really well. You know the requirements. You know all of the nuances of the things that, you know, the business cares about in the operational side, how to keep the app up and available. Now, you just might have to start doing things a little differently, but relatively, right, you're the expert in your company to do things.
And this is the misconception, is that many people are looking to hire a DevOps person. They bring a person in who can do DevOps. He is the person that does DevOps. And then spend 6 months to a year understanding the existing infrastructure and applications.
Yeah.
So now the business looks at that long-term cycle and goes, well, where's DevOps giving me the benefit in this investment I've made with this person or personnel?
Right.
Let's leverage the existing skills from IT Pro,
yeah.
from Dev. Let's pull them together.
Yeah.
Let's give some business instruction. and get this process working.
Right, yeah. And we, you know, it was interesting. We had somebody in our pre-con, you know, raise their hand and we asked who's doing this. There was a couple people that had this. They had somebody that they brought in a DevOps person, right, to form a team. Now, that in and of itself, I'd say, is kind of a little bit of a gray area, because you may want someone that has maybe formed a successful DevOps team before from your existing staff. But what we found was, in that case, this person said, hey, you know, this person is not working out well, and because they don't know the capabilities of the staff and the resources that are there. So they're having a hard time trying to form a team, right? So kind of back to that point of, why don't you get somebody from your existing resources to focus on that,
and
right?
financially leverage the existing investment you've made in those personnel for their particular skills.
Exactly.
Let's just pull them together and start to use them in this new DevOps flow that we're going towards.
Right. So the last part of DevOps, and we intentionally left this at the end, is products, right? Yeah. And the reason being is that we often see not just Microsoft, but other companies and lots of people who have their products saying, this is the answer to DevOps, this is the future to DevOps, and pointing to a product that they're selling. Now certainly, right, out there are many products that help, and you'll see more about that here in a second, but by no means is DevOps a product, or is a product a single answer to the DevOps story, right?
I mean, this slide plays out perfectly. It's all three components that play towards this new DevOps movement. And when we see a lot of, say, fluff in the media around DevOps will never work because they don't have the right person, well, they're not taking into account process. They're not taking into account products. It's across all three. And this is the push that we're trying to drive with regards to our framework.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, some people have said DevOps is a movement. I would say the same, right? Yeah. And with people, process, and products as part of that. So, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do, you've probably seen the higher level ALM or application lifecycle management slides before, or you might have. This is our thing that Morgan and I, we've helped create here, that this defines standard processes that no matter what products you're using inside of your environment, you need to do all of these types of things. All these types of things are actually occurring in your environment.
That's the key message. It is happening.
Right.
It's probably not integrated correctly.
Right.
No one's talking across them. No one's pulling those pieces together.
Right.
And ideally, this framework should start to build out for the IT professional an understanding of all of that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So, you know, we have an open source ecosystem, right? You know, a lot of people were starting with this intentionally here because, you know, a lot of folks have heard of Chef, a lot of folks have heard of Puppet. You may inside your organization use Linux or open source. We want to be frank and clear here, you know, like we believe that at Microsoft that, you know, interoperability with other open source products, right?
Definitely.
And so, you know, we have like on Microsoft Azure, for instance, you can host Linux. You can host and run Java apps if you want, right, on our cloud services. And even our on-premises products, right, support Linux.
The embrace is there for open. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And as an IT professional, if you start to spend a bit of time looking at your development environment or the developers you work with, you'll probably recognize some of these names being tossed around or used.
Right.
And actually understand the developers are using these tools already. Their portion of the business has made the investment in these tools. Let's integrate, let's embrace, and let's really make this a unified framework that helps towards this DevOps movement.
Yeah, you know, we look at it like, hey, you know, pick some, if you've got tools that really work well for your organization, you already have investments in them, great. You know, see how maybe some other Microsoft products might integrate in. For instance, right now you can deploy to Microsoft Azure infrastructure directly using Chef and Puppet.
Yeah.
You know, so there's things like that, and we have a full-blown open tech team with very experienced professionals. You know, where they're doing that. You may have seen the episode two times ago with Ross about doing Chef deployments to Azure, right? So we have large commitments here to the open source community. Now on the Microsoft side of the house, right, we have quite a few different products that are in this list. So so here, right, you're going to notice there's a lot of things that are from on-premises and in the cloud, right? And you know this. Despite, you know, what one even within Microsoft says, right, Azure is not the only answer. Now, cloud can definitely help accelerate certain things, right, like infrastructure as code. You know, makes it a lot easier to just fire off a script and deploy everything you need. But, you know, we want to make sure, you know, you can take advantage of your existing investments for folks that, let's say, have System Center inside their environment.
And that's the key piece, is those existing investments the business has made from a licensing agreement, skills perspective. Take the piece you have already, slot in the pieces you might not have, and build out this hybrid story, which plays to exactly the whole Microsoft roadmap. We're trying to make a single story that people can play across that's pertinent to them and leverage their existing investments. And the flow kind of works quite well in the framework because it takes you as an IT pro to understand what the developers are doing through the various stages, mm-hmm. how they actually do throw it over the wall to you at the end of the day. But that key piece at the bottom is how do we actually pull that all together? Mm-hmm. How do we use release management? How do we use the ability to move an app through stages? But how do we track? How do we assign ownership and responsibility? So really the passion for operations, which is ITIL, ITSM, process driven, pulling it into the existing investments Microsoft have made with release management in the acquisition they made a year ago, how do we start to pull those together? And slowly but surely, we've seen some of the announcements made this morning around desired state configuration, integration between an operations kind of mandate platform tool with DSC into release management,
yep.
kind of pulling those pieces together. So it's a beautiful framework to allow an operations person to stand back and see what they've got and let a developer stand back and see, well, this is what we have, this is what we use. How do we actually simplify this process all the way?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and so you know, on that on that point of that CloudOS platform, right? You know, the deal there is that you could have any type app. It doesn't have to be a Microsoft app or .NET app, but we want to provide that platform for you that would work more seamlessly across all three, right? Because
yeah.
we realize that you may want to have an app that is with a service provider. Maybe they have a unique hosting requirements that are great for you and you don't have the capability in your own data center. You may need to have that app run in your own data center because you know you've got the existing hardware and existing investments, or it's just there's so many restrictions and security requirements yeah. that you need it there. And then there may be cases where it's like, look, well, you know, the cloud is in Microsoft Azure, it's a lot cheaper and there's a lot of scale advantages yeah. and other things that you want to take advantage of. Run that same app in all three locations, right?
We saw a great example of it yesterday with one of the attendees of the pre-conf, a pharmaceutical customer who is running 90% virtualized but 10% physical and requiring that 10% physical just from a data sovereignty perspective. That's the only reason they have that and they haven't moved totally to a cloud scenario. So now this framework starts to play to both areas and it gives him the freedom to allow his developers to use the cloud components they need when the IT pro needs to use his relevant on-premises piece. We're starting to put that single story, single framework, single look and feel to both parties and ensuring that, him being the business person, he has a view of what's going across the whole ecosystem, mm-hmm. and he understands the investments he's made with development as well as operations. Mm-hmm. And the other side is I pull it back into the next version of the application, the next iteration, the next updates that might be coming out. I start to have the single framework, I use all the tools that are available to me, and I kind of make my life a bit easier for operations and dev all the way.
Yeah, yeah. And so one of the things, too, I'll point out is, you know, hopefully you as an IT or an operations person that are out there today, you should see some products that you're familiar with, right? You know, maybe PowerShell. Maybe you don't use PowerShell or you didn't think, hey, that's not a DevOps kind of thing. Well, it definitely can be, right? I mean, you can today, right, deploy infrastructure as code using entirely PowerShell, right? You know, you may be familiar with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, right? That's a great technology for that to help and integrate.
I mean, we made some nice announcements today around kind of the update 3 coming out for Visual Studio, et cetera. And that link between using something like PowerShell DSC into release management really allows existing operations people to use their custom scripts they've got that they're already probably using in the infrastructure environment, mm-hmm. enabling developers to make their lives a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
Let me bring down my workflow for the amount of processing that's running to deploy an application.
Yeah.
Let me bring that down, send it to a state that I know that it's going to be exactly what I need it to be, and streamline and slow down and increase the speed that I push an application out of.
Yeah.
But for that to work, we need both parties talking to each other.
Yeah.
So I think it plays true to the fact that we're supporting IT pros end-to-end, but take the existing tools to enable the developers to obviously bring up better quality applications, faster iterations of it. And the winner at the end of the day being the customer slash user across this whole,
whole
process.
And the overall business, right? So, I mean, really, it's, you know, and we've seen numerous customers on this, and there's data to back it. We're not showing you that here, but, I mean, people who have effective DevOps teams, they deploy like hundreds if not thousands of times faster. They resolve issues like in orders of magnitudes quicker, right? And so, you know, it's a matter of, you know, when are you going to get on the train,
yeah,
right? You know what I mean? It's not really like, oh, you know, I'm just going to avoid it as long as I can. Well, you might, but, you know, at some point things are going to have to change to really start to enable this better dynamic system of doing more frequent releases, deploying applications, having better availability,
yeah.
more uptime, you know, and And I think, you know, once you it may be the people in the process side, I mean, no doubt, you know, for a lot of folks is hard to kind of get going. But if you as the ops or the IT people kind of have some a better understanding of the developers' worlds, you start to kind of work together and you know, I think have some nuggets, right, of wisdom. And we're not giving you those here today in this session, but you'll hopefully start to see those things through the course of our different resources that we have here. So I'll bring that up.
Yeah.
Right, you know, Morgan and I, we did a Microsoft Virtual Academy session last week or so, and, you know, that'll be live eventually online.
In 3 or 4 weeks will start to come out.
Yeah.
For download.
That's right, yep. And then we'll have, you know, continued future episodes of the Ed Show related to DevOps. We also have the DevOps blog, which is good for, a lot of those topics.
And that's magic, because that ties to what you made a comment now by saying the IT pro needs to understand what developers are doing.
Right.
Understand the experiences they're going through. Understand what they need to enable them.
Yep.
If you enable those developers, we'll bring back the benefits for operations. Mm-hmm. And that blog has got some great articles coming out on the business side.
Right.
Not technically in deep down into the products.
Right.
But understand how do you approach those the people, the process, and then get to the products at the end of the day.
Yeah, and then, of course, I mean, you and I have Tech Ed Breakouts, which by the time you're watching this should be live.
Yep.
And I also have on my blog post, blog, itproguy.com. There's one about Tech Ed DevOps-related sessions. So there's a lot of other DevOps sessions for you to check out here to products. And
don't be afraid looking at the list. They might say dev, but this is the starting point. The
That's
IT pros need to start understanding exactly what are we doing on our tools.
That's right.
What is the motion for ALM?
Yeah.
So little things like that is you need to start embracing that.
No, totally. Like, you know, a perfect example I give is application insights, right? And I, you know, there's a misconception there for, I think, a lot of folks, which is that, app insights, it's a dev thing. Well, you may have even heard that, right? But the reality is, what does that product do? It monitors your application. It monitors your availability. It has a dashboard, right? Our MSIT ops team uses that, right, to monitor applications in their environment. You know, it is inside of Visual Studio Online, so you do have to sign up for Visual Studio Online, but you could just go right into App Insights from there.
And that insight's a great word because it actually gives all three personas the ability to see what's going on in an environment that might affect their metrics.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, that's what's key. SLA, metrics, how do we provide value back? And so really, this is the foundation, the start for us. And we're looking forward to some more shows and content.
Yeah, so thanks for tuning in. Hopefully that gives you a little better context. Hopefully clears things up from some of the confusion that we've seen out there today. Feel free to comment below on this post if you have comments, questions, concerns related to this topic. And then, as always, on the Edge Show, we'd love to hear from you, edge@microsoft.com or @TNEdge. And, of course, we have our Facebook page, so please do interact with us. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, hopefully you enjoyed that little segment there with Morgan at TechEd. And, you know, we would love to interact with you. If you have comments on this specific video that you watch, comment down below. Yes. And if you'd like to interact with us in general, we have our Facebook page. And
or we have a Twitter account.
We do.
So, yes. So tweet us on TNH.
There we go. Yeah, and stay tuned till the next time.